We could read, please, in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, our body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our brother, Mr. McCall, has followed on the line that was so well developed this morning in the Bible reading. Christ coming to set up his kingdom. He has pointed some interesting things from this book of Daniel in relation to this great event. The line that I'm going to take up this afternoon, I'm going to try and point out some things that terminate at the rapture. Perhaps at times we take too much for granted, assuming everyone understands the type of words that we use. I'm discovering that in many places, God's people still need very simple things to be taught. When we look at the Lord's coming, the advent of the Lord's coming, it has been pointed out that he's not only coming to the air, he's coming to the earth. Coming to the earth to set up his kingdom, that was emphasized today. When we speak of the rapture, we're speaking on the Son of God coming to the earth, and what will take place when that great event is ushered in. He's coming as the bright and morning star. When the bright and morning star is heralded in, the dark night of the dispensation will have come to a close. Sometimes we say, 'Tis past that dark and dreary night, and Lord, we hail thee now. I'm conscious today that there are many things that will end or terminate when this great event takes place. That is, they'll terminate in connection with the Lord's people. I have chosen five, just like David chose five smooth stones. I'm going to point out five things that will terminate at the rapture in connection with God's people. The dispensation of grace will terminate, as we shall see. The Lord's Supper will terminate. It will no longer be required. Assembly testimony will come to an end. The spiritual warfare of God's people will have ceased. And the health problems of God's people will be terminated. I want to say, brethren, that the rapture is not only all glorious because of what we'll enter into following the rapture, but the rapture is all glorious because of the things that will terminate. If you read Truth and Tidings, you will have noticed that at one of our conferences in October, one of the Bible readings at the conference at Aurelia, the subject was the dispensations of Scripture. I will have no doubt, brethren, that that would prove to be a great blessing to God's people, to be intelligent as to the great dispensations that are found in this great book, the Word of God. I'm glad that I live in the dispensation of grace, the dispensation when God has made known Himself fully in the person of His Son. Great gospel dispensation. I was impressed recently with this point. When the dispensation began, when it will end. The dispensation of grace began with the advent of the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. You know, dear brethren, it's remarkable the day of Pentecost was the first day of the week. And I would say it was becoming that this great dispensation should begin on the day that Christ rose from the dead. The first day of the week. It began with the advent of this great divine person, a member of the Godhead. Let me say, brethren, this is one of the more neglected subjects of the Bible, the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. And this great dispensation comes to an end with the advent of the Son of God. Think of that. And what a moment that will be, brethren, when He bursts through the crowd. Clouds with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The church will be complete. The gospel bells have rung. The last soul has been saved. And this great dispensation has come to a close. I think it's important to understand the dispensation in which you live, in which I live. And I'm glad I didn't live in the dispensation of law, that I live in this great dispensation of grace. It will come to an end at the rapture. The second thing that will come to an end at the rapture is the Lord's Supper. I think that most know that the Lord's Supper is the great supper of this dispensation, the breaking of bread. Sometimes when speaking on this great supper, we point out that there are four suppers in the New Testament. There's the gospel supper, thank God. There's the family supper where Mary broke the alabaster box of ointment in devotion to Christ. There's the marriage supper in the future when the bridegroom and the bride will celebrate that great, eternal, indissoluble union. And then, brethren, there is the Lord's Supper. When I think on the Lord's Supper, I speak of it as a dignified supper that's instituted by Christ in the upper room. It's the Lord's Supper. I would say, brethren, that it is an assembly supper. It was God's people. It was God's mind that the Lord's Supper should be an assembly supper. The Lord's Supper is a weekly supper. It was observed on the first day of the week, and I would say it's becoming that it should be in the first day of the week. And I would say the Lord's Supper is a dispensational supper in this sense. It's only for this dispensation. It will terminate at the rapture. We won't need the bread and wine in the glory. I was quite surprised to find out that some of my brethren, not here, and they believe that we would have the Lord's Supper in heaven. My brother, let me say the Lord's Supper, written always, great as it is, it's only for this dispensation. And thank God, at the rapture, we shall see him face to face of whom the bread and the wine speak. I say that's an all-glorious, heart-moving moment when, without a cloud between, we shall see him face to face. I was quite exercised in some things I'd heard that certain men believed about the Lord's Supper. Not only did they believe that we would have it in heaven, of course we don't. I understand some brethren believe that when the breaking of bread comes to a close, we should burn the bread as an offering unto the Lord. My brother, that's very, very dangerous teaching. And I just want to say in passing, the coverings that we have, the tablecloth or even the table, or the coverings that we cover the emblems with, there's no significance in them. We could do without them if it were not for flies and dust. All the significance is in the bread and the wine. And as soon as the meeting comes to a close, they become obsolete. They have served their purpose. And anything could be done with the wine or the bread following the breaking of bread meeting. But brethren, we won't need the Lord's Supper in heaven. It's a dispensational supper. It will terminate. We shall have him of whom the bread and the wine speaks. As I thought on things that will terminate at the Lord's coming, I want you to think of assembly testimony terminating at the Lord's coming. I think that most, at least they should, understand that this is the great dispensation of the church and the churches. Now I know the word church in the New Testament is a faulty translation and the word assembly is preferred. I think it's important to distinguish the difference between the church as the body of Christ and local assembly. I'm not too happy with the term universal church. I would call it the dispensational church. There are some brethren who speak about the church on earth. But my brother, my sister, let me say that church embraces not only sins on earth, but also sins in heaven. Why, when you think of this great truth, the church, a unique dispensation in which we live, composed of former Jews and former Gentiles, Christ is the head. I'm glad our brethren pointed out the difference this morning between headship, lordship, and kingship. One of my brethren said to me after the meeting, he said, I was sorry that some did not bring in and point out the difference between the church and the kingdom. He went on to say to me that it's amazing the ignorance of God's people when it comes to distinguishing these things, the difference between the church and the kingdom. Now, you and I are in the kingdom now in a spiritual way. What will be in the kingdom in its public manifestation, as our brethren have said. That moment you and I trust that Christ, whether we knew it or not, doesn't change the fact. God not only put you in Christ, he put you in the church. And every believer, I care not where they are, where they go, they are in the church. That moment they trusted Christ. When you think of local assemblies, and I would say that we have seven at least figures of speech in the New Testament describing local assemblies, beginning with the tilled field of 1 Corinthians 3 and ending with the gold lampstands of Revelation chapter 2. So I couldn't go into these seven figures of speech only to say this is God's collective testimony today in the Word. There's individual testimony, there's family testimony, there's assembly testimony. My brother, I thank God for local assemblies shining as golden lampstands right across the earth and right across in North America and right across Australia, where our brother McCall comes from. I have been in that country, and I thank God for the stand that God's people take as New Testament assemblies. You know, brethren, when the rapture takes place, assembly testimony will have ceased. Following the rapture, there will be a Jewish testimony and a Gentile testimony. And that will be the result of accepting the gospel of the kingdom that will be preached following the rapture. But in connection with this great dispensation in which we live, this is the dispensation of local assemblies. You know, it's sad that many Christians today in denominations don't understand assembly truth. I'm glad that ever I had my eyes open. I was brought up in the Church of Ireland, the Church of England. I was going on to train as a minister in that context. But God opened my eyes. And like our brother Maxwell here, we saw the truth of the assembly and took our place in the local assembly that was distinct and different from any denomination, and we were gathered unto the Lord's name outside the camp. I'm glad to say that I have never been out of an assembly of God. My dear brother, I say that in the fear of God, kept safely kept. I have learned by experience that the assembly is my home. Now, I'm not in the real estate. No. This is not a commercial. I have three homes. Mrs. Gray and I live in a home in London. Last year was our 50th anniversary, and I thank God that we've been walking together with the Lord now for 51 years. Our home is in London, a condo. We don't cut the grass, we don't clear away the snow. We're older people, we're privileged senior citizens. But we pay for it. My second home in London, Ontario, is the Assembly. Now, I'm glad, brethren, that I have found the Assembly to be a home, a spiritual home. How nice it is to be at home in the Assembly, not as a fault finder, but as a helper. I can honestly say that I'm very, very happy with the Assembly that I'm in. I hope they're happy about me. We just had a conference, I wasn't at it, and some of the folks present, they said there was just one thing absent, missing at the conference, Mr. and Mrs. Gray. I'm glad they thought that way. But then I have a third home, brethren, and it's up there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, the great heavenly home of the redeemed. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. Brethren, I'm going home. I was speaking to some of the boy brethren, and they were referring to some of the children in the Sunday school. I noticed what one said. Many of these children live in houses, but not homes. There's a difference between a house and a home. I live in a home. I'm going to a home. And I'm in the Assembly home in London. The Lord's people gathered unto his name outside the campus in the Assembly of God. Brethren, this is Assembly testimony. It will terminate at the rapture. There won't be assemblies left on earth unless professions. As I pondered this truth, and I was pondering many things our brother Mr. McCall was saying, I've always enjoyed his ministry in Australia. And I've enjoyed his ministry when he comes to this country. We appreciate men who aren't afraid to call a spade and speak things that need to be spoken. I don't think there's any room for diplomats in the public platform just to play to people. No, no. God's people need to be told what the Word of God teaches for their preservation. The fourth thing that will come to an end at the rapture will be the warfare of God's people, spiritual warfare. You know, brother, you're not long saved, and I wasn't. I could almost tell you the first sin I committed as a believer. Think of that. I was driving a truck. In those days, you didn't push the button and everything started. No, no. I cranked it, and it jumped back and hit me in the knuckle. And I didn't quote the 23rd Psalm. There was a boy sitting by my side, Joe. He's unsaved. I was so ashamed. I looked at him and I said, Joe, just think of me, a Christian, using a word like that. But you know, brethren, I've never used it again. I learned that while I was saved and I had a spiritual nature, I never lost the old nature that I got at birth. The flesh. Sometimes I pointed out three men, how they were overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Demas was overcome by the world. He loved this present world. He King David was overcome by the flesh. He fell into immorality. And dear Peter was overcome by the devil in the high priest's palace. Oh, I'm so glad that Simon Peter heard the cock crow. And his conscience was reached. And he wept. Thank God Simon Peter got back to his God. Brethren, I would like to see recovery brought about in this conference. I would love to see God, some of God's people being brought back to their God and brought back to the assembly. When I think of the flesh, brother, I want to say to younger people, you and I have a killer within us. If you don't judge the flesh, you'll go down. Judge your thoughts. Judge your secret acts. Because the flesh could have you doing secret things that no one else knows anything about. The flesh could have you performing sinful acts. God knows at times what people do in private as well as public because they still have a sinful nature. You know, brother, I'm glad the rapture's going to take place at any time and I will have no more trouble about the world or the flesh or the devil. And I'll never again have to get alone with God and confess my sins. And I'll never again have to go and say to my brother, I have sinned against you, or my sister, I have sinned against you. Brethren, oh, the wonder of it all will be through with temptation. Thank God for that. I'll never again have to fear the fact that I could fall into sin or get away from God. I had a dream. I was scared stiff. I came out of that dream in a kind of shock condition. My dream was this. I'd fallen into sin. I got away from God. I got away from the assembly. I got away from the work of God. I was shocked. What relief, my brother. What relief I discovered was all a dream. Oh, I'm thankful it never happened. Tragedy? Tragedy in the Christian life? Yes, brother, that's tragedy. And I'm 45 years in North America, and I've lived to see preachers go down, and elders go down, and young people go down, young men go down, and young women go down. I have lived to see them fall into sin. The Lord preserve us, brother. But we'll soon be through with it all. Oh, he's coming. This I close. Thinking on the things that will terminate at the rapture. Oh, thank God there will be no flesh on the other side, brother. As soon as the rapture takes place, you'll be through with it all. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Never have trouble with it again. The fifth thing that will terminate at the rapture, brethren, come to an end with the health problems of the Lord's people. Sometimes God's people don't understand that they've been sealed unto the day of redemption, the day of liberation. I believe the day of redemption takes place at the rapture. The day of liberation. Liberated what from? The bondage of corruption. Have you ever considered the effects of sin in the human body? Brethren, as you travel today among God's people, you wonder who's next. My heart goes out to dear brother Alec Wilson, dear brother Taylor, and others. Major diseases. Who's next? Might be John Gray. I don't know. It's scary. We don't know what's round the corner. You know, brother, at the rapture, there's going to be a wonderful change take place. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. A body will never go to the dust. A body will never be sick. A body like unto his own body of glory. My brother, what's in this old life? Take Christ out of my life. I have nothing. Nothing, brother. Take Christ out of my life and I have nothing. And I sometimes say, he's the man who's made a man out of me. But we're moving on to that all-glorious day, the day of redemption. Oh, you think of God's people, the day in many places, brethren, there's nothing to make us hard. There's everything to make us tender. Everything to make us sympathetic and compassionate. The physical and mental needs of God's people. Brethren, he's coming. When that great moment comes and he bursts the clouds with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the sleeping saints are going to be raised and the living saints are going to be changed. And I say, what a moment. What a translation to meet him in the air. Oh, what a meeting that will be. Then to take us right into that heavenly home, and standing in the presence of his Father God, he will exclaim, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. And brethren, in that day, you and I will have our dustless, deathless, diseaseless, painless bodies, bodies like unto his own body of glory, a bloodless body, a body of flesh and bone, a body like unto our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, look up. Look on. It's better on before. Not all the better of what we're going to enter into, but it's better also because of what is going to come to an end at the rapture, the dispensation of grace, the Lord's Supper, assembly testimony, spiritual warfare, and last but not least, the health problems of God's people. Brother, you might have a health problem until the rapture, but after the rapture, you'll say goodbye to the vitamin E. You'll say goodbye to the nurse and the doctor in the hospital and the surgeon. You'll say goodbye to the drugs and the herbs and what have you helps to strengthen the body and the way to glory. And thank God you'll have a body suitable for glory. A body that's like unto the body of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, thank God for the things that will terminate at the rapture. God bless you and God bless his word.